Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good morning, everyone. This is Deanna Allen, and if you are on the call right now, you are participating in the 90-day renewal exclusive access teleseminar for Donna Partow's study of Becoming the Woman That I Want to Be. If you're not familiar with what this study is, you can log on to donnapartow.com. Check out the 90-day renewal, all of the wonderful benefits of the exclusive access, including daily videos, personal coaching, live teleseminars like this one, and then, of course, working through with a group of women, helpful discussion boards, topics, and trying to just press in to experience a renewal of our spirit, soul, and body. If you're not aware, Donna Partow is currently making her journey home from Bogota, Colombia, where she's been on a short-term mission trip. She'd really appreciate your prayers. She's fallen a little ill, is extremely exhausted, and is coming home to try to rest and recuperate and pour back out to the group. This week's class will conclude part two on healing and deliverance. The seminar links are available on the Facebook discussion group, or you can look them up on Blog Talk Radio. Look under Donna Partow, and you can find the classes. If anyone is on the chat and can let me know if you can hear me okay, then I will get started. We're going to pray and dive right into this teaching that we believe is going to set some women free. Well, let's go ahead and open up with our prayer. Lord Jesus, you are the Almighty. You are the author and the finisher of our faith. You are our beloved. You are our bread of life, our bridegroom, our bright morning star. You are the chosen one, the chief cornerstone. You are Emmanuel. You are faithful and a true witness. You are the high priest, the holy one. You are our hope. You are Jesus. You are our King of Kings, our Lamb of God. You are the light of the world, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. You are living water for our spirit, Lord of Lords. You are our Messiah and our Redeemer. We give you glory and all the praise, and I pray that you will have your way today. Lord, we choose to be open and submitted to you today. Like David, we cry out to you and tell you our troubles. We ask you to bring our souls out of prison so that we may praise your name. We trust you to not give us more than we can handle. We can and do trust you to be our protector, our shield, and the revealer of our hurts. Lord, only you know what lies in darkness, the deepest secrets that are inside of us. We ask that you would reveal the deep and hidden things to us. Search us and show us the hurts that you want to heal today. We trust you, Lord, to not reveal more than we can bear. We give you permission to dig deep for the roots of any hidden memories that are affecting our lives. We ask you to take the keys to our heart now and unlock the doors. Bypass any denial or deception that may be blocking our memories. Bypass anything that has hindered us or is hindering us from receiving our healing. Lord Jesus, we ask you to bring those things to the surface that you want to heal, that you know are standing in our way. We ask you to be with us as we may re-experience some past hurts and pains. But Jesus, we want to be set free by the power of the cross and of your blood. So have your way, Jesus. Have your way. Well, today we're going to get into another piece on healing and deliverance, a key piece on demonic oppression. Demonic oppression. If this teleseminar has been challenging, maybe some of the things that you've believed, some of the things that you've come to understand about healing and deliverance, then I would encourage you, as the Bible instructs, to be a good Berean, to go back and study what the Bible has to say about healing and deliverance, that Jesus healed them all, that they were delivered. And we're just trying to provide you with information to understand how a toehold can become a foothold, working its way up to a stronghold until we are stranglehold. Well, today we're going to look at specific ways of how demonic oppression strangles us. How did how did we become oppressed and influenced by evil and unclean spirits? Well, to lay a foundation, let's think about the nature of the one who is opposing us. Satan, our adversary, the adversary of God, Christ, and God's people. The devil, the serpent, the evil one, Beelzebub, Belial, he is the accuser, and he accuses saints before God. These are just a few of his names. And then he does this using his demons, evil, unclean spirits. Here are some words if you want to think about what demonic oppression means. Demons come to afflict, to inflict something hard that we have to endure. They come to harass, to make a raid on us. They come to influence, to affect us or alter by indirect or intangible means so that they have an effect on the condition or the development of our walk. They come to oppress, to lower our spirit or our mood. They come to torment, to cause severe suffering in our body or our minds. They come to torture, to punish or coerce us by inflicting excruciating pain. They come to try to subject us to stress. They come to worry, to disturb or destroy our peace of mind by repeated or persistent torment. And they come to wrong, to inflict injury without justification. Now, I want to give you some Bible verses that you can stand on. There's many, many more, I'm sure, but I just kind of want to show you that we have the authority to deal with delivering of demons. In 1 John 3:8, it tells us that the purpose of Jesus' life is so that he could destroy the works of the devil. In Acts 10, verse 38, Jesus was healing all who were oppressed by Satan because God was with him. In Luke 8, 31, Jesus has authority to cast demons into the abyss. In just before that, in verse 28, Jesus has authority and ability to torment them. In Matthew 15, 22 and Mark 7, 26, Jesus is casting out a spirit from a distance. In Mark 9, 25, Jesus forbids the return of the demon. In Matthew 4, 24, Jesus heals all who were oppressed by demons. Of course, all throughout, he's casting out blind and dumb spirits and mental illness demons and seven demons he cast out of Mary Magdalene. He heals all the oppressed of demons. He freed the woman from the spirit of infirmity. And then, of course, all throughout, we also see that believers cast out demons. Believers resist Satan. Believers are not to give place, this legal ground, to Satan. That's in Ephesians 4:27. And in 1 Peter 5:8, it tells us believers are to be on guard. We're to be on guard. So today we're going to help to identify some areas where these strongholds may have you gripped and then teach how to release these things and how to be on guard. Demons affect all parts of man, the body, soul, and spirit. And how fitting that this study we're doing the renewal of our spirit, soul, and body. One thing that I want you to understand is demons are on a seek and destroy mission. The Bible says that the enemy comes to seek whom he may devour. So it's his plan. They strategize and they work together. The demons take advantage of our weaknesses. They love times when we're physically or emotionally weak and vulnerable. It's kind of like a military strategy, if you will, that they watch for where the defenses are weak, and then that's the area where they strike. But keep this in mind. Demons don't play fair. They don't play fair. They endeavor to affect every area, every area. Their plan, again, is to steal, kill, and destroy, and they do it at every level within our human personality that they see that they can gain access to. Some of the areas that are typical to be oppressed by demons: our body, our body. They can attack us with appetites, lust, gluttony, sex, clothes, addictions. Lots of things can be addictions. Pornography, internet, shopping, overeating, sports, gambling, TV. These are things of our flesh that get these cravings, these attacks. Illness, cancer, arthritis, epilepsy, asthma, incurable diseases. And then the states of our body, our sleeplessness, our sleepiness, our lethargy, our pain, our nervousness, the state that our body is in. Then, of course, we can be oppressed in our soul and in our mind. We can be tormented with thoughts of accusation, temptation, distraction, terror, insanity, even death. We can have blocked memories, forgetfulness, compulsive thoughts, blocked understanding of God's word. Of course, there's our soul and our will. They know that they can get in when we have a weak will, a will that has no follow through. We continue to say that we're going to do something and then not. Paul talked about that. He said, the very thing that I try not to do, I find myself doing. And the thing that I know I should do, I can't do. That's a weak will. And then, of course, there's our soul and our emotions. Maybe some of you have exaggerated emotional states, seem like just kind of irrational. I have every now and then, I'll say I'm just having an irrational moment where we may go through extreme fear, anxiety, anger, rage, shame, rejection, grief that is overextended, or really kind of any emotion that is out of proportion. It just feels like it's bigger than we are. It's become all-consuming. And then, of course, in our spirit, demons oppress us and attempt to prevent salvation. They try to come and produce spiritual lethargy, cause us to doubt our salvation experience, bring us thoughts of unbelief. They affect us, harass us, and prevent our maturing. So these are some typical oppressions that happen in our mind, in our soul, and in our spirit. There are sins of the flesh. Sins of the flesh, these are doors that we most frequently open that invite the enemy in to destroy us. This is especially true when a sin is repeated and then it becomes a pattern leading to a lifestyle of indulging the flesh. Sin doesn't have to be anything exotic to provide an opening for demons. There's, garden variety sins will do just fine. Weakness of our flesh and demons co-labor together to keep a vicious cycle going. We sin, and then the demons begin to oppress us, and they help influence us to continue to sin more and more and more and more. Here's some of the garden varieties of sins that can open the door to demonic oppression. Anger. When we give ourselves permission to vent our anger on others, anger can lead to violence, adding to legal ground. Fear. The Bible says fear not. Fear and worry often lead to sinful ways of coping. There's all kinds of different types of fears, but this is another opportunity for demonic oppression. Greed and covetousness. We're told not to covet, and we're warned about the severe consequences. Jealousy and envy. It makes us sick. Lust and envy can work together. Rebellion. Ephesians speaks of walking in disobedience, rebellion. 1 Samuel states that rebellion is as witchcraft. We hear the word witchcraft and think it's some big to-do, but those of us that rebel against authority, set ourselves up against the word of God, have a rebellious bone in our body. Maybe you've heard that, I have a rebellious bone in my body. Well, that's nothing really to be proud of. That's an open door for demonic oppression, because rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Pride. Pride is the original sin of Satan. And it's the sin that's most hidden from us. 1 John 2:16 speaks of the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Isaiah 14:12-17 demonstrates the eye problem. And Ezekiel 28:12-19 talks about how we put value in our achievements and our possessions. Of course, there's lust, gluttony, gossip. Oh yeah, the sin of gossip gives Satan a lot of opportunity to work. Strife. James states that where envying and strife is, there's confusion and every evil work. Bitterness. God commands us to allow no root of bitterness. Self-righteousness. I'm right and everyone else is wrong. This kind of sin distances us from others in the church as well as from God. We continually see ourselves as better. Criticizing, blaming, and judging. We hold our own life up as the standard of rightness, and then we put others down, or we see them as the cause, the reason for everything that's wrong. We criticize, blame, and judge others. And then, of course, last week on the teleseminar, we talked a lot about forgiveness. Illness and accidents is another place where demons know that they can gain ground and begin to oppress us. Physical trauma, that's one way if there have been, and medical drug use, not saying that everybody should get off of their medical prescriptions, but there are a lot of things that are tied to the word pharmakeia, that is a place that can become demonic oppression, and any types of drugs that cause us to be numb or alter our mental state of being or our mood. It is a potential open door for demonic oppression. Accidents and illnesses can be a time of shock and trauma. And we're going to talk a little bit about shock and trauma and how demons take advantage of our weakened defense to swarm in to our soul. There's actually demons of shock and demons of trauma, demons of depression, demons of accident, and they can start this vicious cycle. Emotional trauma is another very common potential for open door. A traumatic emotional or physical experience, it fractures, breaks apart our defenses and causes us to be weakened in our ability to fight this warfare. Trauma can be any form of loss. It can be a breakup of a relationship, a divorce, unexpected death, a job loss, abuse, loss of our innocence, and lots of things can happen. Of course, there are some very blatant things that we might not think about that open doors, trances or states of mind, hypnosis, induced mental states where we kind of let go through either chanting or mantras or even watching TV. It maybe TV produces a trance for you. You kind of slip out of your mental ability to perceive things that are going on around you. You voluntarily let go. Some music helps us to kind of slip away to a different mental state. And this is kind of like being anesthetized. It's a self-induced, passive place where we leave our mind unguarded. So remember that verse that we talked about of being on guard. And then there's occult involvement. There's a door where demons can enter through occult, which is a form of idolatry. Now, the word occult, just so that you know, means hidden. Occult involvement means looking for knowledge or power in hidden sources other than the true and living God. And this eventually leads to allegiance of those other sources. Usually, it's a lust for power, knowledge, and control. Some of the things involved in a cult are astrology, worshiping the stars, things that are detestable to the Lord, practicing divination, sorcery, interpreting omens, casting spells, consulting the dead, consulting familiar spirits, being a medium, checking out your horoscope, all of these things, numerology, different things like that. I remember doing a checklist one time and being asked if I had ever participated in this, that, or the other, and then being instructed that these were doors that allowed demons to come in. And, you know, things like playing with a Ouija board, doing a seance, playing, you know, when we were younger, levitating one another through, you know, a game called Light as a Feather, Stiff as a Board, going into dark rooms and playing games with different types of things like Bloody Mary. And I don't know if any of this makes sense to you, but, you know, when I was in junior high and early high school, I simply because of my ignorance, remember, demons don't play fair. So they don't care that I didn't understand that my friends and I were opening these doors into the demonic realm. They were just happy as a clam that people perish for lack of knowledge. So we don't have the excuse to be ignorant. So today, maybe just knowing. Maybe you've played with a Ouija board, and, you know, last week we talked about serving eviction notices, taking possession of our property again, kicking them out, get out of there. So today we'll maybe do a prayer, post it on the discussion board, some prayers of how we can deal with these things once and for all. The one thing that we can know for sure is that God hates the occult, and if you've been wrapped up in anything that has been demonic, then you might have already come to understand that occult power is unusually strong when we've been involved in stuff like this. Now, I want to talk to you about the area of trauma. Trauma and pain. For those of us that, you know, have been through anything that has really shaken our foundation, last week we talked about ungodly beliefs and how we make vows with lies. We come into agreement with things that are contrary to the Word of God, and then we begin to live a life out of a lie. Well, this week I want to spend the rest of our time talking about soul-spirit hurts. Soul, spirit hurts. The places that are the deepest, that are the most painful, that the enemy knows he can put his finger on, he can press a button, if you will. And, you know, it's one thing to be aware of the button and how to respond when our button gets pushed. But if you have deep pains, then wouldn't it be better to have the button removed? Soul spirit hurts are hurts that are on the inside of us. They're wounds to our soul or to our spirit that we carry around and we experience over and over and over again, whether we're aware of it or not. These are not physical and they cannot be seen, but they're revealed by symptoms in our life that that show up at various times. This is, you know, a lot of our relational struggles happen when there's an emotional trigger. It hits something that brings up a memory of a pain from our past that we try to act like isn't there, yet we live out of that place of pain. It surfaces when certain types of people appear or certain situations occur that feel similar to that situation that caused that original hurt. And it's almost as if we get to live the pain again and again and again and again. We feel its familiarity inside. We go through all of the fears that are surrounded by that. We can have extreme anxiety waiting for the bomb to drop. We can even move into sabotage because of these irrational fears that consume us of things that can go wrong. So all of these hurts come from earlier painful experiences. Some of them can be very simple things, times when we were embarrassed or humiliated by others. But these pains are so personal and they're so intimate. These wounds can be caused by sins of our fathers, ungodly beliefs. They intertwine together, and they begin to be like a web that ties everything in our life in its grip. Sometimes our family of origin, members of a family, repeat certain kinds of behaviors. We can watch how alcoholism or codependency or abuse, a physical abuse, sexual abuse, sinful generational patterns come, and they produce the same hurts, the sins, and the curses over and over and over in the generations. And this is a place where demons know that they can oppress an entire family. Ungodly beliefs are usually formed in hurtful situations. They come from family patterns, underlying ungodly beliefs that build a broken foundation. If let's say growing up your father was emotionally unavailable or detached from you, and you never felt the love of your father. Maybe he didn't even tell you that he didn't love you. He just didn't show you that he did. And as a result of that hurt, you formed the ungodly belief that you are unlovable. My father doesn't love me, therefore I must be unlovable. And you begin to live in your relationships as a person who believes that they are unlovable. And this can produce a lot of hurt and trauma. We can begin to experience fear and failure, isolation, loneliness, shame. We can flip to the other side and begin to try to control, rebel. We may sink into depression. And the invasion just goes on and on and on for years until we're agitated and we're stirred up by these same hurts. And it's like picking off a scab. Everything that happens begins to feel like this injury over and over and over. And so you can see that hurts can provide a launching place for demonic lies. Demons amplify the hurt by messages that they send to us. There's no point in trying to make friends. Nobody's going to like you. Nobody's going to understand you. Nobody knows what you're going through. You're worse off than anybody else around you. What will they think if they know the truth? You can't tell them how you really feel. They'll think you're crazy. All of these things begin to block and distort God's healing revelation. Remember, the goal is so that we will stay in a stranglehold, not able to receive healing from our hurts. Deuteronomy 6:23 says, "But he brought us out from there to bring us in and give us the land that he promised on oath to our forefathers." God wants to bring us out of our pain so that he can take us into his presence. He wants to bring us out of the situation of hurt into the healing that we need. He doesn't want us to be bound by ungodly beliefs. He wants our mind to be renewed. He wants us to see him and ourselves as he sees us so that we can act like him and agree with his word. He wants to bring us out of the snare of the devil into the safety of his protection. He wants to bring us out of the world and into his godly kingdom. But our job is to make ourselves available to the Holy Spirit so that he can accomplish this. God is our healer. He is our Jehovah Rapha. Rapha, to mend, to stitch, to cure, heal, to position, to repair, to make whole. He wants each one of us to be made whole. Well, in order to be made whole, we have to go into the places that we want to avoid. We have to sometimes make a list. Now, it's not to sit around and, oh, woe is me, and to go back and to give the problem the power. It's to bring healing to the hurt. It's kind of like our sin. If we don't acknowledge our sin before God, then we're not really taking responsibility for it. Now, soul, spirit hurts is not taking responsibility for it. It's inviting the healing of the Holy Spirit to come in to the area. Psalm 147:3 says, He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds or sorrows. This is referring to the wounds in the innermost portion of ourselves. Jeremiah 31:25, God's speaking to Jeremiah that he will fully satisfy the weary soul and replenish every languishing and sorrowful person. In Hebrew, this it means weariness and sorrow, and it refers to our mental or emotional condition of the inner person. God says he will satisfy and he will replenish the deepest part of a man's being. Another place in Jeremiah 17:14, Jeremiah cries out, Heal me, O Lord, and I will be healed. Save me, and I will be saved, for thou art my praise. He's referring to his soul. It says, Beloved, I pray that in all respects, this is in the book of John, I pray that in all respects you may prosper and be in good health, just as your soul prospers. There's a health for our soul, and it produces prosperity in all areas of our life. Jesus heals the brokenhearted. He heals the brokenhearted. In Isaiah 42:3, it says, A bruised reed he will not break, and a dimly burning wick he will not extinguish. Isaiah 53:4 says, Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows, yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him, and afflicted. He loves us. He loves us so much. Well, what are some things, do you think, that can produce soul-spirit hurts at this deep level? Deep level, the level that breaks our heart, confuses our mind, deceives us, and causes us to not be able to walk free. You know, I envision a person, and unfortunately this, you know, it's not just about Christians. There are ministers that are ministering shackled in chains. We put on a smile. And we act like everything is okay. And everything is not okay. We're going to talk about masks. We put on our masks to try to, for lots of different reasons, to help us to feel better, to try to cope, to deny that the pain is as bad as it really is, because we're ashamed of what people would think. And so we have these masks on, while meanwhile our soul is so sick, it's withering away, and it's dying. It's starving for life and love. Sometimes hurts come not from something that was done to us, but something that was not done. We just talked about not receiving the love of your father. You know, for a lot of people that have had traumatic childhoods, there's a grieving process of what that childhood looked like. There's a healing, an inner healing that has to happen of grieving the childhood that was. But for many, there's also a grieving of the childhood that wasn't. So soul spirit hurts can happen as a result of something that wasn't done to you either. A toddler who was never cuddled or hugged, a child who was never made to feel special, or worse, the innocent child who is continually made to feel belittled and rejected and abandoned and stupid, nothing of value. The teenager whose parents are always busy and miss graduations, miss important firsts, always have somewhere else to be, just sends the message that you're not worth my time. Everything else means more to you than I did. Hurts can result from deep disappointments that are beyond our control. When people fail to meet our expectations, even in the job world, maybe a promotion that never came. We waited and we waited and we waited and we performed and performed and performed. And this soul spirit hurt comes into our heart, has a root that forms this ungodly belief. We come to believe that I'm not good enough. I wasn't worth it. Somebody was better than I was. Women who want pregnancy and never experience that can produce a soul spirit hurt. The death of a loved one, a divorce, abortion, every form of abuse, physical, emotional, verbal, sexual, a disability, a job loss, a failure. These things result in hurts and feelings of loss and hate, fear, guilt, revenge, abandonment, rejection, depression, and frustration. There's different levels of hurt. You know, it's with a soul spirit hurt, it's not like you can take a thermometer and check the temperature of a pain. Some people's threshold for pain is higher than others, so it's not really fair when we listen to a person that's been wounded in their soul or their spirit and to think, gosh, what a baby, you haven't been through anything that I've been through. But nonetheless, it's measured by the outcome of their freedom and the level of stronghold that they're enduring in their life. The degree and the intensity of the hurt, it can cover a tremendous range, from small pain, like people that were left out of a ball game, to a gut-wrenching trauma, like losing a child custody battle. All kinds of different things can scar us in ways that leave us with a soul-spirit hurt. But I can tell you this, ongoing hurt needs ongoing healing. Ongoing hurt needs ongoing healing. The child who's in elementary school, who's continually bullied on the playground, it's not enough for the loving parent to say, oh, that's okay, he didn't mean it. The abuse of the mind continues on, and I believe that this is one important reason why we're to pray without ceasing and we are to continually experience a renewing of our mind, is because these areas of hurt and pain and devastation, the devil intends to take full advantage of these access points and begin to oppress us with demonic activity. There, lots of things can result in a crippling to our soul and our spirit. Not just physically and mentally, but emotionally. Hurts we talked about can begin in the family, and they can affect an entire family. Hurts can affect the entire person, the spirit, the soul, and the body. Hurts cause other hurt. You know, in my drug addiction, in the 10 years that I was addicted to methamphetamines, as a broken woman who had endured every form of abuse and who built a life on top of the lies, the ungodly beliefs, the soul spirit hurts, and made vows that I would never allow anyone to hurt me. I would never allow anyone to get close to me again. I had a long list of things that I had spoken over myself. I will never. I will never, and I will always. And those were vows that I spoke over myself. But my denial, believing that I wasn't hurting anybody but myself, was so strong. And looking back and seeing how my addiction stole precious time from my children. Now, of course, in the midst of my addiction, I was able to rationalize, justify, and minimize. I had every right to be angry. I had been violated and perpetrated and rejected and abandoned. And I was going to be in control of how much I was going to hurt me. Aside from sugar addiction and caffeine, I've never battled with a food addiction, but I've talked to a lot of ladies that eat, and that form of control is there also. It's we understand that we're bringing pain into our life, but everybody else does too. So at least I can control my own pain. There was a really distorted ability that I had to rationalize the sickness of my addiction in my mind. I knew how bad it hurt. I knew when I would stop it, when I would start it, and until it had consumed me. And I was out of control, and it took over everything. It robbed me of everything. And that's kind of what taking a look at how the toehold becomes a foothold until it's a stronghold, and eventually it has a stranglehold on us. And there is so much demonic oppression going on that we literally cannot see ourselves coming out from under these heavy burdens. We want to. Of course we want to. We cry out, God, help me. Help me. I can't live like this anymore. I can't do this anymore, God. I need to lose this weight. I need to cut up my credit cards. I need to walk away from this toxic relationship. I'm making myself crazy in the way I'm thinking, and we're desperate. We're desperate, but we don't understand how bound we are. Hurts cause lies. Hurts cause ongoing vulnerability and hopelessness. You know, one of the things I love to teach on at women's retreats and, of course, in prisons is the walls that have built up. Some of us, we build our walls on purpose, our brick walls. We place brick by brick by brick until we feel that we have created a safety, a world of safety that we are in charge of. Maybe we let people in, maybe we don't. Maybe we let them in for a minute and then we kick them out. Maybe we just look out a window for a minute, observing life that's going on outside. And you know, the sad reality about walls being built around our heart is that, true, we may be able to keep everybody at a safe distance there on the outside. But what happens on the day when you realize that you've become trapped inside? And it's a very lonely, painful place of despair. Hurts cause us shame. They cause defense mechanisms. You know, I used my anger for a long time as my way to keep people however far I wanted them away. If I didn't want anybody to talk to me at all today, I would just be a vile woman challenging anybody. I dare you. I dare you. Just press my button today if you want to see a bomb explode. Isolation, we do this too. We manage. It's our defense mechanism. But the problem is that it becomes where it's not mechanical anymore. It begins to threaten the core of who we are. We begin to look like our pain. Hurts cause us to wear masks. They restrict our growth. They cause anger and disappointment toward God. They block our emotions. And of course, what we're talking about is they lead to demonic oppression. Hurts can begin in the family. We talk about this of wounded families. Maybe one of the things that you'll do this week, last week the challenge was to make a list of your ungodly beliefs, the lies that you've been believing, and then to challenge those, to prove those lies to be just that, by finding the Word of God to replace that thought pattern. Well, this week, perhaps what you will do is you'll spend some quiet time with God, inviting the Holy Spirit to come and show you the ministry that you need to your soul, spirit, hurts. Maybe as you ask the Holy Spirit to reveal the hurt that you want to see healed, you'll listen and watch as he tells you and shows it to you, and you'll pour out your heart to express your hurt and your frustration, your pain and your fear, your anger. There's nothing to be afraid of being honest with God about how you feel. It's kind of like taking the Band-Aid off and laying down on the stretcher and letting him carry you into the operating room where he can begin to do the heart surgery that you need. Maybe in the process you'll realize that you need to forgive others, parents, siblings, peers, for causing you hurt and pain. Maybe you'll need to forgive yourself. Maybe you've hurt yourself and others. Maybe you'll need to repent of some behaviors and attitudes. Maybe you need to forgive yourself for letting the hurt control you. Maybe like me, you'll get angry at how simple it seems, like it could have been, and how many years you've lived wallowing in a dung pile. You know, I was really angered and irritated when my eyes were opened up to the truth, and suddenly I began to see the devil for what a liar he is, that he's the father of lies, and that he had born a bunch of bastard babies into my life, all these little lies. And then I danced around with them almost. It was this frustrated, exhausted, hopeless, despairing life on the dance floor with the devil. And, you know, I tell my children today, don't think that you can dance with the devil and that he's not going to want to take you home at the end of the night. This, I believe, is one of the reasons Joyce Meyer, in her book, Battlefield of the Mind, it's a great book. It's a great book, Battlefield of the Mind and Me and My Big Mouth. The thoughts we think and the things that we say are like taking a twirl with the devil on a dance floor. He dresses us up in darkness, shrouds us from the light, spins us around until we don't even know what hit us, and we are down, broken, and devastated. But the good news is that we always have the Word of God. We always have the Word of God. 1 John 3:8, for this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. We talked about that one. Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Colossians 2:15, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled out the certificate of death, of debt, consisting of decrees against us and which was hostile to us. He's taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. When he had disarmed the rulers and authorities, he made a public display of them, having triumphed over them through him by the cross. That's right. He nailed it to the cross. He's disarmed the rulers and the authorities, having triumphed over them. I hear dancing happening right now. This isn't the twirling with the devil. This is the dancing on his head. Soul, spirit, hurts are being healed in the name of Jesus. Shackles are being broken. Lies are being revealed by the truth. ungodly beliefs are being replaced by affirmations of the Word of God. The Word of God. These hurts can no longer affect our physical body through ailments and diseases. We're taking them back. We're reclaiming this stolen ground. We will no longer live self-defeated, restrictive lives. We're not going to shut down our emotions. We're not going to settle for painful flashbacks. We're not going to have distorted perceptions and goals anymore. We're not going to be people who are easily offended. Our emotions are not going to be turbulent, negative, filled with fear and hate and self-hate and anger and grief and mistrust and shame and abandonment. Our spirits are not going to be dull anymore. We will not be oppressed. We will not turn away from God. We will not be hurting people that propagate hurt. We won't be. We have victory. We have victory. We can overcome the accuser of us by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Revelation 20:10, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone. Last week I said on the call, every time the devil tries to come to remind you of your past, remind him of his future. Remind him of his future. Listen, ladies, if you're experiencing ongoing hopelessness or despair, if you go through guilt and shame and condemnation, then there may be a shame, fear, control stronghold on you. And there are prayers that we can pray. There are verses that we can provide to help you. So as you listen to this, if this is something that you think that you need a personal prayer on, then I invite you to find me on the 90 Day Renewal Facebook group, or look me up, Deanna Allen, on Facebook. You can email me privately through there, and we can pray and talk and begin to bring you out of this darkness into the glorious light. That's what being in the presence of God is. It pulls us out of the darkness and places us into the glorious light. He translates us from a redundant life to an abundant life. Jesus died so that we might have life and have it more abundantly. He doesn't want us to live with hurts that are causing us to live defensively and offensively. He doesn't want us to wear masks to disguise our hurt. He wants us to be able to walk out our God-given identity so that the world will recognize the glory of God in us, that we will be trophies of his grace. He doesn't want us to be bound by perfectionism and performance, where we're always exhausted, where we ignore our families and we compromise our values in order to win respect or love. He just simply wants us to know we're his daughters, and he loves us. He loves us right where we are. Everything that we've been through. Yes, he sees everything that we have yet to do, and he still loves us. He still loves us. It's his desire that we would go from glory to glory, that we would ever be increasing in the way that we reflect his character in the earth. We don't have to carry the deep hurts of never feeling accepted. We don't have to earn love and respect. We don't have to struggle to try to be perfect or to hope that maybe people will believe that we are. We don't have to try to avoid criticism, knowing that deep down inside we're never going to be perfect enough and that we're doomed to failure. We don't have to be angry. We don't have to blame. We don't have to be critical. We don't have to be sarcastic. We don't have to be bitter. We don't have to do these things. We don't have to find fault with others, hoping that by putting them down, maybe we won't feel so bad about ourselves. We don't have to have
roots of bitterness. Hebrews 12:15 says, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. We don't want to continue to just pull up the weeds in our garden. In my book, Pathway to Serenity, I talk about weed eating our garden. And Donna talked about this a few weeks ago also. We go through the garden of our life, searching our heart, pulling up things at the surface level. We just want, just do the minimum. I don't want to go into the operating room. It's like avoiding the surgery and living with the painful symptom. We limp and we limp and we limp and we take pain medications just to kind of mask the pain. But we know deep down in our heart, we're not really dealing with it. God wants us to deal with it. He wants us to make peace with our past. He wants us to move freely into our future, to walk out our destiny that He has for us. He doesn't want our hurts to restrict our vision. He doesn't want us to be depressed and withdrawn and lifeless people. He wants us to press on toward the prize to which we were created. He doesn't want us to question, God, where were you? God, if you love me so much, then why didn't you intervene? God, why didn't you warn me? Why didn't you stop it? Why did I have to go through this? Why don't you answer my prayers? God, why do you seem so far away, so hidden, so silent? No, God wants us to know that He is close, closer than a brother, closer than a friend. He will never leave us nor forsake us. His plan is around the soul spirit hurts. His plan was not to hurt your soul or your spirit. There is sin that lives in the earth, and our part is to identify what our sin is, to forgive those that have sinned against us, to find a way to make peace with our past. Maybe some of you need to go back, and as you do this list of soul spirit hurts, you need to offer forgiveness. We talked about this last week, but forgiveness is such a door of demonic oppression, unforgiveness. We need to forgive ourselves. We need to receive forgiveness and cleansing. We need to list these things out and cast them. You know, I've had the opportunity in years of working within recovery ministry of 14 years now of helping people to work through a process of being recovered. There are a lot of creative and unique ways. Find what's going to work for you to identify these things. The Holy Spirit is not going to leave you in this place of pain. He is even having you listen to this teleseminar right now. Hopefully you have your journal out and you're writing down things that the Holy Spirit is revealing to you. Do not be afraid to go back into rooms of your childhood that all you remember is the pain that's in there. Because if you will go back into that room with your Heavenly Father, with your healer, with your comforter, with your counselor, you will be set free of the chains that have you bound in that room. The light will be shown into the dark places in that room, and you will begin to see yourself free. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this time that we've had. I pray, Father God, that you have broken things off of your children, God. I thank you, Father God, that you are our healer. You are Jehovah Rapha. Father God, you teach us, you guide us, you lead us. How to confess our sins one to another, pray for each other that we may be healed. You say not to wait for perfect conditions. You say that we can't heal a wound by saying that it isn't there. I pray that last week and this week that ladies have identified ungodly beliefs, that you've broken off generational sins, that you've helped to offer forgiveness where forgiveness needed to be offered, even if it's to ourselves. I pray, Father God, that you continue to lead your women in their healing journey, that they might experience an absolute renewal of their spirit, soul, and body as they become the woman that you want them to be. We praise you, Father, and we give you glory. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. If you would like prayer, I think you can still go ahead and press 1 on your phone. I'm looking on the screen, and it should let me know if your hand is raised. You can send in a chat prayer, and I will be here for about another 5 minutes. I know that this might be a little bit hard. If you'd like to talk privately, send me a Facebook message and we'll set up a time. I think I'm going to put some of the prayers on the discussion board just if you're dealing with ungodly soul ties, curses from spoken words, soul spirit hurts, different things like that. So continue to pray for Donna. Continue to pray for me. Of course, we have the Destiny Conference coming up this weekend. I still see that there are a couple of callers logged in, so if you want prayer, press 1. It'll raise your hand and I can answer you. Okay, ladies, well, I don't see that anyone is calling in. I still see a couple of chatters on, so I'm going to go ahead and hang up the phone now. Feel free to continue chatting for the next few minutes, and I will see you on the 90-Day Renewal Group on Facebook. God bless you, ladies. Bye-bye.